Welcome, one and all, to the ProWrestling.net ROH TV Audio Recap Podcast with me, Hayden Gleet. Today I will be reviewing the show that was taped on August 21st in Philadelphia at the 2300 Arena, which aired September 16th on Destination America and in ROH syndication over the weekend. Well, it's been a while since I've been here with some audio. I can only apologise. Between vacation and a rather nasty sudden illness, I've not been able to record with my regular co-host Darren Guttridge, who, by the way, this week is on holiday in Turkey. So I will say, if you're listening to this on the beach, Darren, I hope you're having a good time. But again, I speak for us all when I say we hate you for having the nerve to go and relax somewhere and not record audio. Of course, he knows I'm joking. Anyways, before we get into the ROH audio recap, I do want to make note that this show is going out all access, so it means we have members and non-members listening. For the usual listeners, hello! And for the non-members, welcome to top-notch audio that we do here at ProWrestling.net. Of course, I have to make mention that if you did become a member, you wouldn't have to wait and pray that our content is put up for nothing for you. Instead, you'd be enjoying the audio goodness every single week. Along with the TV recaps like this one, we have the Pretentious Podcast with Will and Jake, where they take a pretentious look at the week's news, and they usually have some New Japan talk towards the end of every single show that they do. And we also have an archive of audio dating back a number of years with such stars as Matt Morgan, Mick Foley, Jim Ross, to just name a few, really. On top of all this audio juiciness, there is also the flagship show .NET Weekly and a rotation of co-hosts on a week-to-week basis. Usually it's a member of the staff who joins Jason, but sometimes he has co-hosts such as, again, Jim Ross, Kurt Bauer, Brian Fritz from BetweenTheRopes.com, again, to name just a few. On this show, Jason breaks down the news and has his first-run news that you won't hear anywhere else. This audio in itself is worth the price of membership. You also get ad-free access to the website, so you don't have to put up with the flashy ads all over the place. And you also get access to the .NET forum, which has a great group of people who enjoy a good old chat about pro wrestling. I can hear you going right now, oh my goodness, how can I not have this membership? Please, Hayden, tell me how I can sign up. Fear not. If you go to the main page at ProWrestling.net, on the right-hand side, you will see a link that says Membership Sign-Up Info. From there, you can either choose the annual option of $66 a year, which works out as $5.50 a month. Or, if you want to try us out for a month, it's $7.50. Try us out, and I'm sure we'll keep you around, especially with the amount of hard work that the staff, and especially Jason, put into the content for you lovely people. So with that being said, on with the show. I will be, of course, reading from Jason Powell's recap on the main page of ProWrestling.net if you want to follow along with the audio. I actually enjoyed this edition of ROH TV, which, by the way, was the go-home edition before the All-Star Extravaganza, which will be on pay-per-view later tonight as you're listening to this. And by the way, if you can't watch the pay-per-view, Jason will be doing a live review as the show is happening, so please make sure you check out ProWrestling.net this evening. That was easy for me to say. The show was a good build-up for that pay-per-view, and I wouldn't be surprised if they managed to sell some viewers on ordering the pay-per-view by every segment and every match hyping one of the feuds leading into the pay-per-view. There are one or two criticisms I have, but we'll get into them in due course. So, the opening montage started the show, and then Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino checked in on commentary. Kelly and Corino hyped the All-Star Extravaganza pay-per-view straight off the bat. So the first match of the night was Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly versus Donovan Dijak and Jay Diesel with Truth Martini. Jay Lethal sat in on commentary and spoke about defending his titles against Fish and O'Reilly. Dijak chased O'Reilly to the floor where Fish cut him off. O'Reilly hit a running knee off the ring apron on Dijak and then rolled him back inside the ring. Dijak caught O'Reilly off the top and dumped him to the floor. Late in the match, Fish and O'Reilly took turns throwing kicks at Dijak and eventually got him to drop to his knees. Then they performed a simultaneous kick. Fish put Diesel in an ankle lock and didn't break the hold even when Dijak threw multiple punches at him. Fish and O'Reilly both applied their finishers on Dijak and Diesel got the submission win. Therefore, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly defeated Donovan Dijak and Jay Diesel. First of all, I enjoyed the match. Fish and O'Reilly worked at a more sort of methodical pace and hit impressive but timely spots at the right time, and it was good seeing that style of match to open the show. I've never been high on Dijak before this match, but there were a couple of spots in this match that impressed me, especially the springboard off the middle of the top rope into a splash. I also enjoyed the hell out of the finish, as it was not something I've seen, or at least not something I'd seen in a while, in terms of a sleeper being applied onto the tag partner who was trying to break the submission, and with every shot he was getting weaker and weaker. So it, although on one hand you can sort of say that they didn't sell the shots, because the sleeper was applied, it kind of made up for that, because they were, you could see that they were getting weaker and weaker. So I really enjoyed that finisher. I sound like I'm praising this match way too much, but there was a lot of little things that added up to my enjoyment of the match, and that included Lethal not turning his back on his opponents at the pay-per-view at any point. A couple of times, either Fish or O'Reilly were walking close to the commentary desk where Lethal was sitting, and Lethal would always stand up and face them. So if you think about it, if you was going about to fight someone in a couple of days' time, you would do exactly the same thing. And again, it's only a little thing, but those little things always, for me, always add up and doesn't take me out of the moment thinking, well, why has he turned his back on them? Because they're his opponents in a couple of days' time. Of course, there is a downside to this, and that is the placement of the match, as this should have been the final selling point of the show. I might as well get into this now, but my main criticism of the show was that it built every feud evenly, which in itself sounds like a strange thing to complain about. But if you read any of my work on ProWrestling.net, you know that I believe the World Championship should be elevated over everything else. And I felt that not only was it brought down to the level of importance of the other TV title, which is always a concern of mine with this whole Lethal sort of gimmick, but it felt that the main event is no more important than anything else in the card. That's not the case, obviously, and it's only a small nitpick, really. And as I put on my hit list, which again you can find on ProWrestling.net, I feel bad saying anything negative about the build, as it's been the best I think I've seen in a long time to a big event. But if I had to choose something I would do differently on the show, it would be to try and make the world title the biggest focus heading into the pay-per-view. The Briscoes were featured next in a backstage interview. Jay Briscoe referred to Adam Page as a pimple on his ass and said he would take care of him in due time. Mark shifted the focus to their mystery team opponents at the pay-per-view. Jay said that they are going to show up and punch the other team in the mouth. It's no secret, if you've heard any of my stuff, that I love the Briscoes. To me, they show what we need more of in wrestling. Two guys who can talk but are outlaws and they walk the walk. It's also no secret that I can't help but laugh at Mark Briscoe's antics every time I see him, and this show is no different. When Jay said he had a pimple on his ass before mentioning Adam Page, Mark looked quizzically at Jay's ass and I just cracked up. As for the mystery team at the pay-per-view, for me it's too obvious to be Adam Page and probably BJ Whitmer, as Jay brought it up and also the commentators brought it up a couple of times during the actual show. My guess is that they send out some no names that Adam Page has paid to go up to go against the Briscoes and to be beaten up. My guess is then that Page and possibly Whitmer will come in and beat up the Briscoes when they are distracted. It won't be the biggest surprise for the mystery team, but in all fairness to ROH, they are not building it up as a huge deal. So I don't think that there should be any fan backlash if it's not a massive surprise mystery team. Second match of the night was Dalton Castle with the boys versus Cedric Alexander with Veda Scott. Silas Young sat in on commentary. He said it's wrong for people to see Castle and say he's a man. The crowd chanted for Castle as the match got underway. It was a back and forth match heading into a break. Castle said the problem with the boys is that they pee sitting down. He also said it's guys like Castle and the boys who make the rest of the world think that America is soft. Castle performed the suplex into a bridge for a good near fall. The boys stood on the ring apron and fanned Castle. Silas said he'd had enough and went over and pulled the boys down. Castle was distracted by this, which allowed Alexander to roll up Castle for the win. After the match, Stokely Hathaway came out and distracted Alexander. Then Moose entered the ring from the other side and speared Alexander. So Cedric Alexander defeated Dalton Castle. First of all, I'm always loving the Dalton Castle entrance, but something I noticed today made me love it even more. Growing up, I was a huge Queen, the UK band fan. I don't know why I never noticed it before, but Dalton's entrance music is essentially an instrumental to Queen's hit I Want It All. And when he stood mid-ring with the guitar playing away and he raised his arms in the air and all that pageantry and the streamers flying in, I was just like, wow, this is awesome. It's such a flamboyant entrance and character that it really should not work. It should be something that I hate. But Dalton makes it work because of his charisma and the fact that he can go in the ring. Silas was okay on commentary, about what you would expect, which is not a bad thing, as he was true to his character. I am really looking forward to seeing the match, and although I have the reservations or the campy comedy that may come out of whatever the result may be, I want to have faith that ROH won't ruin a good thing. As for the match, it was another decent match with, this time, fast-paced athleticism, so it felt different to the first match, but I agree with Jason's assessment that Cedric felt somewhat of an afterthought, which I thought hurt the match slightly, but then with the actions of Moose after the fact, it built up the Cedric and Moose match heading into the pay-per-view tonight. For the record, for what it's worth, I'm going for a Moose win over Cedric to avenge his losses. And I'm going for a Dalton Castle win over Silas, as for some reason I have a strange need to see Silas Young wearing the boy's outfit. Not in a sexual way at all. It's in a more, how can I put this, my sense of humour is so warped that I will laugh my ass off sort of way that I need to see it. In a segment that did not air on Destination America but did in syndication, Mandy Leon hosted the Inside ROH segment. She was interrupted by Adam Cole, who hyped the four-way match to determine the number one contender. A Jay Lethal promo aired with him hyping his ROH title match against Bobby Fish. Leon ran through the rest of the lineup while Cole stood by. Without seeing the segment, it's hard for me to talk about it. But I will say that one thing missing from the Destination America showing was hype for the number one contenders match. Which again, by the way, for what it's worth, I'm going to pick Adam Cole to beat Michael Elgin, AJ Styles and Roderick Strong to become the number one contender. At this point, ring entrances for the main event took place. So the third match of the night was War Machine versus Matt Taven and Michael Bennett with Maria. The team shook hands, then Taven and Bennett kicked Hansen and Raymond Rowe, but they no-sold it and went on the offense. Later, Taven and Bennett doubled up on Hansen and had him down at ringside heading into the break. Later, Hansen and Taven had what can be best described, as Jason put it, as a cartwheel off. I'm not sure if that's a proper term, but it's the best way, actually, of describing what happened. War Machine went for a combo move, but Maria grabbed Hansen's legs. The Young Bucks walked to the ringside and pulled Maria off the apron. War Machine performed a double-team leg drop finisher and got the clean pin on Taven. So War Machine defeated Matt Taven and Michael Bennett. After the match, the Young Bucks entered the ring and performed a double superkick on Bennett. Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian and Chris Sabin ran out. Daniels and Kazarian hit the Bucks with the ROH tag titles belts and taunted them. Again, it was a different kind of match. This time it was more of a showcase of the War Machine's power and the Kingdom's speed and also their ace in the hole, Maria, who will help them win more often than not. I do question why you have War Machine looking strong, considering I don't believe they are even booked on the card for the show tonight. But again, it's only a small nitpick slash concern. Again, they used the TV time to hype the tag team title triple threat, and again, it was effective. For me personally, as we spoke about earlier on, I would have flip-flopped the order of the matches around, with the opening match being the main event and War Machine against the Kingdom being the opening. But again, that's just me. The show ended with what I can only describe as the best hype video for a pay-per-view that I've seen from ROH. It featured Dalton Castle, Moose and Hathaway, Daniels and Kazarian, O'Reilly and Lethal discussing their respective matches with dramatic music building to a crescendo at the end with some really good graphics in between. I don't know if it costs more to produce a video of this quality, but ROH need to do it more often, as I would have bought the pay-per-view on this hype video alone. And it certainly made them look professional, not an indie group trying to act like a professional company, which we all know ROH are not in that category, but sometimes their production can make them look indie-rific. So there you go, folks. That was the ROH show leading into tonight's pay-per-view. Again, I really enjoyed it. The hour flew by and every match is something different and hype for the pay-per-view. Definitely the sort of show that I enjoy. Don't forget, Jason Powell will be recapping the show live as it happens on the main pages of .net, or ProWrestling.net tonight. And if you're interested in good wrestling audio, then sign up for membership and tell Jason I sent you. If you have any comments or thoughts on anything that I've said, as always, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Hayden Gleed. I will be back later with an audio recap of NXT for the members, not for you non-members, so you have to sign up to listen to me again later. So until then, be good, and if you can't be good, be safe.